One of the words that I love, it's in the Bible, and it's a word that we use often, is the word transform. Transform. Transformation. And, you know, just when you think about these words, Good Friday. Good Friday. As somebody else has already said, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen. That what seemed to be so bad on Friday was so good. That God was able to transform an event that changed history. And today I want us to take just a few moments and look at this idea of transformation. I only want to read one verse today, and there's one word that really helps capture this idea. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "As for me, if I am lifted from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Now, I want you to look at this word, lifted up. It's one word in the Greek language, lifted up. Now, what does that mean? Well, or when did that happen? Let's start there. Well, some would say that that happened at the resurrection, that Jesus was lifted up out of the grave. He obviously was. Some would say that he was lifted up at the ascension. In Acts chapter 1, we read about how he was lifted from the earth and he is getting ready to go be with the Father after 40 days from the point of his resurrection. Some would say, well, it's the crucifixion. Now, which one is it? Well, the very next verse, see, this is the beauty of the Bible. The very next verse answers that question. You know, we just need to let the Bible speak for itself. And what does verse 33 say? He said this to signify what kind of death he was about to die. So he is lifted up on the cross. From the earth, he is lifted up. From the ground, he is lifted up after they nailed him. Now, there are three questions I want to answer tonight. It won't be long, but I want to really drill down on a specific thought as we gather. Number one, how is the cross transformed? If it is transformed, if Friday is transformed, how is it transformed? Well, it's in this word, lifted up. Another way this word can be translated is exalted. Exalted. Not just that he's lifted up from a physical standpoint, but that there is a spiritual component to this, that he is exalted. Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, the Bible says, "Therefore, since he is," Peter is preaching, "since he has been exalted," he's been lifted up to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. Then in Acts 5, verse 31, God exalted, lifted up this man to his right hand as ruler and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Christ used one word that transforms the whole idea of the cross, of what it really means. The focus of the cross shifts from the external horror of the cross to the inward glory of the cross and the triumph of the cross. Little did those who crucified Jesus realize that though they thought they were crucifying him, in reality, they were glorifying him. What they thought would be so good in an evil way was so good in a godly way. His crucifixion was actually a coronation. We see the cross transformed as Christ was exalted. Grace transforms the cross to a throne. So I want you to really think about it with me, that the whole idea is found in this one word, that the focus of the cross is not what happened externally, but what happened inwardly and how it transformed everything. Now let me continue. Why is the cross transformed? Why did that happen? Well, we would all agree it's because of the sovereignty of God, obviously. And I'll speak more about that in just a moment. Some would say that why did it happen is because of the power of God, that he was able to make it possible for that to happen, for Christ to die on the cross. And I believe the real focus is because of the love of God. And I want to speak to that for a moment. Now, I want you to notice the outward and the inward aspects of the cross. What do we see outwardly? We see a man who is a victim, and he's nailed to a cross. That's what we see. We see a man on a cross, and we see this man in agony and in weakness. We see someone who is helplessly suffering on the cross. We see around him a few brokenhearted people, a few family members, a few disciples, if they're willing to make themselves known by being there that day. Many of them hid out. We also see standing around him those who would mock him. You hear a gasping, "I thirst," one of the seven statements that Jesus made from the cross that we know about. But what do you see a bruised body, open, gaping wounds, dripping blood to the ground. Now, outwardly, that's what we see. But take a deeper look, and the cross is completely transformed. He could have summoned the angels to annihilate his murderers. He could have exercised the same power that he used to calm the seas, the storms, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. You see, it was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but it was his love. Now that's transformation. What looked like weakness was really love. Through dying, he showed undying love. Now think. He's in the glory of heaven. He's with his Father. He's the agent of creation of the universe, as Paul writes. All things are created by him and for him. All things are held together by him. He is the all-powerful God. But yet he knew that he would leave the glory of heaven, face all that he did, living a sinless life. And he knew what kind of death he was going to die. It wasn't just a man hanging on a cross. It was love. Hanging helplessly on the cross, what did he really do? He demonstrated tremendous power. He could have used the power to his own advantage. But he used that power for you. The power to love. Outwardly, we see the tragedy of human sin. Inwardly, we see the triumph of God's grace. Outwardly, we see a horrible crime. Inwardly, we see perfect obedience. Outwardly, we see injustice. We've all been there. Inwardly, we see God's sovereign purpose. Outwardly, we see someone who dies prematurely, 33 years of age. His ministry only lasted 3 years. But inwardly, we see someone who completed his purpose when he said, "It is finished." The cross is transformed by the love of Christ. The last question is this: what does the cross transform? What does the cross transform? There are three things. Number one, the cross transforms human suffering. Outwardly, the cross seems like a coincidence of human evil and bad circumstances. But it was part of God's eternal plan to save a lost world. The point is, there was a purpose in his suffering. And that's true for us. God is at work in your suffering. There is a purpose in your suffering. This is where transformation happens for you. When you look at the cross tonight, and you look at your suffering, You need to see, just as God had a purpose in the cross and the suffering of Christ, that he has a purpose in your suffering. You may not understand it right now, but the cross led to blessing. Notice the cross means that God himself suffered. He suffered not only for us, but he suffered with us. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. So the cross transforms human suffering. Secondly, the cross transforms life's mysteries. This is a very important point. A medical student had just completed medical school. He was a Christian, and he felt God during medical school to call him to serve in overseas missions. Just after he graduated from med school, he developed a debilitating illness that would not allow him to ever go overseas. Now, what is God doing? How sad. How tragic. How mysterious. It doesn't make any sense. But look at the cross. What is God doing? It's so sad. It's so tragic. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Followers wept. The wicked rejoiced. Both were wrong. Because what? We now see the blessing of the cross. We have the advantage of being able to look back. It doesn't make sense. But God knew what he was doing. That medical student wasn't able to go overseas, but he trained hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others to serve in medical missions. So much so that a missionary hospital was built in his honor, stands today. What he thought was an absolute mystery, God used it for his good and for God's glory. The cross transforms life's mysteries. Wouldn't it be interesting if we all took time tonight just to go around the room and share stories of what once seemed so mysterious? You ask God, what in the world are you doing? And you could say, now I know. What seems so bad has become so good. Third, the cross transforms your sin problem. Jesus is a man on the cross, but he's also the God-man. And so when he went to the cross, he went because of our sin. And when you sin, that sin was against God. Sin is not just breaking God's law, it is breaking God's heart. And that's why he was there. He bore your sin. He took your place. He solved your sin problem. You see, when love transforms the cross transforms everything else. Again, when love transforms, God's love transforms the cross transforms everything else that we experience in life. It transforms you. It transforms your sin. It transforms your circumstances. Right now, today, it transforms your purpose. It gives you meaning and purpose in life. Now, the Bible, especially the New Testament, speaks a lot about forgiveness. Jesus commands it that we should forgive others. And it's possible to do that because he's forgiven us of our sin. Therefore, we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive others. But think for a moment. Forgiveness must be a big, big deal for Jesus to have died on the cross. It's not a small thing. It's everything. I just really want us to stop for a moment and think how big of a deal this was and how big forgiveness is. His forgiveness for you, your ability to forgive others. Because see, when you're forgiving someone else, it demonstrates the forgiveness of God. It doesn't make sense as we look at it outwardly, but it makes perfect sense as we look at it inwardly. It changes everything. It changes the world. I share with the staff that at my mom's funeral, I was able to see my two best friends as children. And one I got to speak with at length, and still today, a lifelong friend. And then my best friend in college, David Seibert. And to make it very short, David came to Baylor and he didn't know. We met at football practice. I didn't have a car. I needed a ride. And I knew he was there as a freshman. I said, "Hey, can I get a ride to the field?" It was really there 2 weeks before school started. And he's just kind of, "Well, sure." And developed a relationship with David. And after about 3 months, that first semester, David came to know Christ. David's life was so radically transformed. There's some funny, funny stories I could tell you tonight. Is this live stream tonight? It's not, is it? It is? I better not tell the story then. Oh, David and I kid about this, and we talked about it when I was there. But it was great. David was so radically changed that he led his entire family to Christ. His two brothers and his sister. His mom and dad. Mom and dad are now in heaven. And David's brother Jimmy, his youngest brother Jimmy, he led to Christ, who came to Baylor. And then Jimmy felt called to go into the pastorate. And Jimmy stayed in Waco, Texas after school, and he started Antioch Church. Antioch Church today literally has thousands upon thousands who attend that church every Sunday. I can't tell you how many college students have gone out on the mission field being trained under Jimmy's leadership as the senior pastor. And David and I spent some time reminiscing just about God's goodness and the transformation of one life and how it has impacted thousands for the cause of Christ. You may have remembered several years ago, there were two girls who were held hostage in Iraq. They're from Jimmy's church, who later were released. So tonight, if your life has not been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, by what he did on the cross, that can happen for you. If you're here tonight or if you're watching, it's a matter of admitting that you have sinned, recognizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and that you're willing to repent of your sin. You're willing to turn from your way and turn to Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and to begin a journey of faith with him, to let him be not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life. And that's a continual process, learning what that means. But it can begin tonight. And so, in a few moments, we're going to have a time of response. And if God is leading you to give your heart to Christ, then I want to encourage you to come and do that. Maybe there's something else going on in your life, and God is speaking to you. You need a place in your heart or in your circumstance today that needs to be transformed. You're looking at it one way and it doesn't seem very hopeful. And you need to ask God to help you look at it through his lens, the lens of faith, the lens of the cross, and allow him to transform that circumstance. It'll change your life. It'll change your future. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. There might be other commitments that need to be made tonight. But in this quiet moment, just take a few minutes and talk to the Lord. Ask him. Father, are you asking me to experience your transforming power by trusting you for salvation? Talk to him about what's going on, the place that needs to be transformed. You just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's so mysterious, an enigma. Ask God to help you. Father, we thank you that you transformed Friday many years ago. What seemed so bad became so good. And Father, just as you were able to make that transformation possible then, you're able still to do it today. And Lord, I pray that that will happen right now for these who are here, those watching. In Jesus' name, amen. That's why.